It's time to head out on the front porch on KFRM. Grab your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation on the front porch.
Today on the front porch, we're going back to June of 2022, the Clay Center, Kansas mural movement we've talked about before. In fact, we're going to talk about Christian Stanley and his wife, who are back in Clay Center doing another mural, this one on a 3,200-foot grain bin. We're going to talk about the first mural in Clay Center that Christian Stanley did and how it all happened. Enjoy the conversation. Today on the front porch, we get a chance to visit with part of the mural movement that is taking place in Clay Center. We've talked before with artists that have been a part of the mural movement, but it's a brand new artist that's come to Clay Center. We're joined by Christian Stanley from Orlando, Florida.
That's right.
So we're going to find that path that got you to the middle of Kansas at some point.
Yeah, I know there's it's a long road.
It is a long road. And I know there's a connection to the area that we'll talk about as well. But for our listeners, let's introduce you. You and I are just meeting today.
Sure.
We picked a time to do this front porch conversation. And it happened to be a day it's pouring rain, so it worked out great for you.
Yeah, works perfect. Yeah.
No work to be done outside on a mural. Tell us about young Christian. Where'd you grow up? What was your family like?
Sure. I'm originally from a place called Stuart, Florida, which is on the east coast of Florida. So a little kind of coastal town just north of West Palm Beach, and lived there for, you know, till I graduated high school. And then I ended up going to school at the University of Central Florida in Orlando, Florida, and have kind of made that my home for the last 12 plus years.
Okay. So tell me what interest you had in high school to start with.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's always been art focused ever since I was a little kid. Even like in kindergarten, I was always drawing and doodling stuff, even in Sunday school and church, just drawing front to back on the pamphlet.
Sure.
So art's always been kind of a focus, and I feel really blessed that I kind of knew that was the route that I wanted to take. I know people try and kind of not struggle to find their footing, but they, you know, there's definitely a lot of options on the way. But I always kind of, not that I didn't do my own kind of meandering to get there,
right,
to where I'm at doing murals now, but I always kind of knew that the art was where I wanted to be. And that's why I chose to go to college for graphic design.
Okay.
And I wish that I went for a little bit more like illustration and painting focus. Mm-hmm. Now that that kind of meets more with what I'm doing now, but I wanted to focus on something that was a little more what I thought was commercially viable, which was doing graphic design. So I did that for 10 years, doing vehicle graphics, with wraps, boat wraps, RV wraps, all kinds of stuff. And that really kind of really helped me get experience dealing with just a whole gamut of customers, from small little startups, mom and pops, up to large like restaurant corporations that have multiple different branches of restaurants, and just kind of seeing the ins and outs of different businesses, whether they're like well established or just getting started. So that really helped me kind of tailor my approach to working with clients and different people about our artwork, and trying to match that, where I try and tailor what I do to the area and what people would like to see in their area, which I think is a big benefit for something that we offer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have a couple of questions on that business and
sure,
that side of that business. I'm going to back up just a little bit.
Okay.
Your
interest. I got ahead of myself.
No, not at all. But you talked about your interest in art from early on.
Yes.
Was there people in your school or community that nurtured that? Or was
I mean, yeah. No, there were two high schools where I grew up in Martin County. And I toured both of them and did pick the one that had the better art program. There, they had a photography lab, and just a really nice guy. His name was Mr. Wetzel, and I took every single art class that I could in high school. So
perfect.
Even photography, and much to his dismay, I just drew the whole time. So he did not have to give me a good grade in that class. But no, he was definitely supportive, and that's definitely something that I appreciate and look back on very fondly, was having somebody, and especially my parents, obviously, that nurture the arts and you know, didn't try and kind of squash me and try and fit me in a box that I didn't really fit in. So,
What did your parents do?
My dad is in kind of like landscape management. So okay. They both of our parents, my wife and I, our parents live in Ocala, Florida. Okay. But yeah, my dad works doing like managing landscape crews for a place called The Villages, which is this huge expanse of retirement community down there that just has a huge footprint. So that they keep them busy. So they'll like replant annual like flowers and stuff. And
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of work that goes into it. Lots of retired old people with nothing better to do than complain about their lawn. So yeah, they keep them busy. He enjoys that. And then my mom works at our like their local church doing she's kind of like an assistant to the pastor.
Very good. Yeah. Okay, so you make your decision to go into graphic arts in college.
Mm-hmm.
Was that kind of, as you said, you thought it was commercially viable?
Yeah,
kind of a safety net decision, is that fair?
Yeah,
to say?
I would say so. Yeah, and talking about like fitting into a box, that's what I realized when we made the jump to do murals full-time is it is, you know, it is viable and there will always be a job,
right?
But there's also a limit to that. And you're always going to make what somebody says you're going to make. And no matter what your skill set is beyond that, it doesn't matter to them because they put you in that box and that's the role that they want you to kind of exist in. So
that was part of the question I was going to follow up on to graphic arts is how much, I guess there's probably two things. They either come with you exactly what they want and don't even try to suggest something else, or they come, is there times they come to you and just say, what should I do? Do you get that too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that depends on the designer too, if you want to pose that question to them. But yeah, there's definitely, as you kind of go through life, you realize that when you hire somebody to do it because they're an expert, you really should kind of lean on them and not pigeonhole them into something that you think that, because you, so many business owners have come in and you can tell they've had many sleepless nights just thinking about what they want their business to be, what they want their logo to look like, and sometimes it's okay and sometimes it's a really bad idea, and it's tough to skirt that line of, hey, they're paying me for my expertise, how much advice do I give them? Do I tell them that their idea is terrible and that they should totally trash it, or do you try and make it work? Or, you know, sometimes I'll play along with them, but I'll if I have time, I'll say, hey, what about this idea? What do you think about this? And sometimes they'll go for it, and sometimes some people just want what they want and it's better just to give it to them. But that just comes with experience and knowing kind of how to maneuver that situation. So
sure. Did you work for a large company? Did you do your own, have your own business?
I worked at a franchise, Fast Signs, for a little bit. Okay. I did that for a year just because when I landed out of college, I just, you know, student loans and
absolutely,
I just got to get in the workforce and get stuff going. But it was really, and that's kind of like a common theme, it was very narrow. I was making like magnets and just little kind of piddly stuff, and I would finish my huge stack of work orders in half a day and then sit around and go, what's next? So it didn't really seem like the best use of my time.
Right.
So I went to a little bit more of a creative place where they let me design boat wraps for different companies, fishing tournaments, and just, you know, drawing fish and just larger scale stuff, which really kind of was the precursor to me making the jump into doing murals, which I felt like came as second nature just from dealing with, hey, what's the square footage, you know, on vehicles, especially on like RVs and stuff. There's door handles and windows and you can't put text or faces on it. I know we've all seen pictures of those buses where they open the window and the guy's like turns cross-eyed.
Right.
So but yeah, that definitely helped me out.
Yeah. So how long were you in graphic art as your main?
9 years,
nine
I would
years.
Say.
Okay.
Probably more, you know, just freelancing and stuff like that beforehand.
Gotcha.
But yeah.
So where does the interest in doing murals, I mean, I know you were doing this with your wraps and different things and got a feel for maybe that, but how do you decide to go in this direction?
Okay. Yeah. No, it was be called, like, I would say public art. So we got our first taste of it in 2018. There was an open call for artists for an electrical box project, which the district in Orlando where it was at was going to be having artists come out and paint over the electrical boxes in the intersections. And we did like an open call for artists, which is a great opportunity for anybody that's interested without any experience in that kind of sector to do work, and it was paid, but you do have to do what's called spec work, which you make your design and submit it, mm-hmm. and hopefully get picked. So you have to do a couple of those. Luckily, we got picked on that one, and that was it was a place called Ivanhoe Village, and it used to be like a pineapple plantation or okay. pinery uh-huh. is what they call it, uh-huh. And we used that theme to paint a bunch of pineapple characters, and coupled that with there's a lake there called Lake Ivanhoe, and they had a place called Joyland, which was this old school water park with wooden rides and wooden water slides and stuff. So we did a bunch of pineapple cartoon characters at a water park. Nice. And themed it that way. So, and that was a big hit, and just like it is now, we do a project and people love it, and somebody contacts us for our next job, and it just kind of escalated from there.
Yeah. So I'm going to get a break because sure. I have another question to follow up on that. But we'll take a timeout now. We'll return more. We're talking with artist. What's the name of your company?
C. Stanley Creative.
C. Stanley Creative. Christian Stanley is our guest on the Front Porch. Once again on the Front Porch, we're visiting today with Christian Stanley. He's an artist that's in Clay Center, arrived on June 22nd, was the date you were yesterday, right? Is that
what
you
we actually saying? Rolled in the night before in Monday that, night. That okay. thunderstorm that
yeah.
chased
Welcome
us
to Kansas,
into
huh?
town. Yeah,
absolutely. Now more rain. It doesn't do this all the time, I promise.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they all say.
Brett Hupke, I know we've mentioned uh-huh. the name before with the other artists that we've had conversations with on the Front Porch, and he said you were anxious to get. You were in Vegas before you came.
Yeah.
In?
Yep.
And he told our Rotary group that you were anxious to get out of the heat, and we
yeah.
all kind of
no, we've been
said,
looking forward yeah. to this spot. Yeah,
you're going to get some heat before it's all said and done. But
I'm sure,
and humidity, you'll find that too, mm-hmm. which is not. You're probably used to that though.
A little bit. This is kind of a right in the middle. Where
exactly.
we've been. Yeah.
So we were talking about getting interested in murals and getting that first opportunity and the public call that you were chosen for, and so you're starting to go in that direction. When do you take the jump mm-hmm. and decide this is something I can make a career and make a living? I mean, you got to make
yeah.
a living out of
yeah.
it, too.
Yeah, no, and I'll say first off, like, I didn't know it was possible to be a full-time artist, at least me personally. I know there are full-time artists, but I right. never really pictured myself in that position, and I give total credit to my wife for really kind of pushing me to see what was possible and you know, my potential. So
Before I let you answer that
sure.
question now, you brought up your wife, Jessica, who's in the room with us.
Yes.
Where did you guys meet?
We met in, what was it, 2017? At a run club. So
okay.
they have different kind of establishments where people can come and meet. This one was at a bar called the Falcon that my roommate coincidentally had started hosting, just to have, you know, people come out. You know, you can run around. There's a lake called Lake Eola in the middle of downtown Orlando. You do a couple laps there and come back and
cool.
have a beer and socialize with people.
Right.
And she you know, met me there. I'd brought my dog Kimbo with me and kind of bonded and made a connection, but we didn't really talk. We became Facebook friends and all that and
sure.
didn't really talk for a while, but kind of were on each other's radar for about a year. And then we went on a date, and, you know, the rest is history. Yeah, yeah.
And Jessica is from originally
from
Kansas.
Kansas.
I get
yeah.
this right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Shawnee Mission, right?
Okay, yeah.
yeah.
All right. So there is a connection to this state,
mm-hmm.
although not to to Clay Center by any means.
No, but proximity, but
we'll get back to getting to Clay Center. But you were talking about taking this leap of faith and Jessica
sure.
being a big part of convincing
mm-hmm.
you could do this. So
yes.
talk about that path.
Yeah, so even on that prior project that I mentioned, the electrical box, we had kind of brainstormed a concept together, and she has joined me now full time for murals, but she'd been a school teacher for about 7 years previously, and she was a media center specialist working in the library, and just being, I feel like being around kids and telling stories and stuff, just that just fits well with what we're trying
yeah.
to do and figuring
yeah.
out a story and a narrative for the projects that we do, because that's what makes stuff interesting. You can paint something, a portrait, whatever. But if you give it a narrative and a story, instantly it's more compelling and more engaging to people. So yeah. It was fun. And I think that's, you know, why we're partners and, you know, soulmates is because we, you know, she was happy to jump on board and kind of right. play along and do that kind of stuff. So, yeah. Yeah, that was a big part of figuring out where we wanted to go with this. So
what was the first mural that you were able to sell to? So I guess you'd call it selling it.
Yeah, it was right? actually the very next project that we did. So we had done the electrical box. It took me like, I was out there every weekend for like 2 months painting it, just an exorbitant amount of time.
Side gig at the time.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I'm like doing nights and weekends and taking my dog out there and kind of hanging out by the side of the road, painting this box, you know, painting every blade of grass in just the right spot. And we use that. You make a little portfolio of your previous work, and we had submitted to an art store that does a big mural project every 3 to 4 years. They have a couple or at least a dozen like artists come out, and they okay. all get like a 10 by 10 space to paint a mural on the side of the art store, and they give us like pretty hefty gift card and stuff to the store for supplies. Mm-hmm. And we got picked. And you know, she likes to tell this story because I was like, oh, well, they picked our design, but like there must not have been that many applicants, you know, just always boohooing and, you know, that like, self, not deprecating, but, you know, just that lack of confidence as an artist.
Right.
And it turns out they had almost 300 applicants oh, wow. for the contest. And, you know, felt really privileged to get out there because we had only done one prior project, and they have a lot of returning artists, which as a follow-up to that, I've been doing it long enough that they actually had their next event just a couple months previous in February, and they actually picked us to do the premiere wall up front. So oh, wow. there's only a few artists that get the bigger walls, and we actually got the nice. Spot on the front of the store, which is, to me, really validating to be able to go from, like, square one and get, you know, invited back and be kind of on the flagship spot. So
yeah. yeah. And I can understand 100% the thought of, am I really good enough to do this? Mm-hmm. Is this really something that's going to be going yeah. forward? But the validation came with that yeah. to begin with. How long until you realized there were enough of these projects
yeah.
that you could make it your company?
Yeah, we started full-time almost a year ago. So okay. July of 2021, I guess it would be, told my work that, you know, I'm not coming in anymore. I was nice. I gave them 6 weeks notice, oh, like, yeah, sure. just to help them out as a small shop. And then, you know, we struck out on our own. And it was funny because we've been so busy beforehand, quit my job, and it was just crickets.
Oh no.
You know, but that only lasted a week or two, and we've been yeah. just slammed ever since, just nonstop projects.
So do you may not know the answer to this, but for Clay Center, the mural project started with a rotary project to do a mural, and all of a sudden the funds started to come in. I mean, mm-hmm. it was like everyone was blown away.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, there's artists wanting to be. The first mural we got, it was like pulling teeth for mm-hmm. Brett and that committee to get an artist to come to Clay Center, yeah. Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
But once it started to get some energy, I mean, mm-hmm. it's just, this is a 25th mural that's yeah, going to be in Clay Center.
That's crazy.
My question is this something that has become trendy, or is it something that's got a history that has been popular and has been enough demand to have a business, or do you even know that answer?
I do. It's pretty, I would say, limited, but I'll just say from my knowledge or my experience that uh-huh. part of it. And the answer is like yes to both of those. Okay. There is a history of murals. There was a public works project that happened pretty early on, I guess, in the 20th century. It's kind of in line with the Civilian Conservation Corps okay. project, and that's what a lot of people are familiar with, like the Diego Rivera murals and stuff with Rockefeller Center, and just right. kind of telling the story. And that's really the mantra of murals and public artwork, which is to be uplifting. It was a very depressing time. Honestly, not that dissimilar from what we're experiencing now.
That's
but murals are a great way to kind of incentivize and uplift the community. So I do see a resurgence of that. I think we're doing a much better take on it this time around. Those murals probably did not age very well, and they were very like labor enforcing, like get out there and, you know, do some backbreaking labor and right. you know right. But now they're a little more kind of open-ended and more contemporary with the times, which is good. And I don't think it's necessarily a fad. Obviously I'm an advocate of it, and you know, now that's my livelihood, I'm hoping it's not, but right. I don't think it is. Just the way the population's growing and development is, there's more and more people need places to live. There's an encroachment of, you know, development, and we need to beautify these spaces that we live. Not everything can be brick and concrete slabs and skyscrapers, and right. you know, art is important, you know, and people have different takes on that, of course, but and art's subjective, you know, and with a wide range of art and no contemporary like style that's really being focused on the way mm-hmm. it was in the past, I think that, you know, there's room for everybody and something for everybody out there to, yeah. to really make our lives more enjoyable. And for there's sure. no reason it shouldn't be.
Well, it's a terrific answer on just the murals in general, I think. But tabbing it open-ended, I hadn't really thought about that, but it is. It's like, you know, there is a canvas and there's an idea, but it mm-hmm. can take on its own life almost. Is that
yeah.
fair to say?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. We're going to get another timeout in because
sure.
I want to get a break and come back. And we're going to talk about where you've worked, where this has taken you. I know
okay.
several different locations. And then how you ended up in Clay Center as
sure.
well. We're visiting today with mural artist Christian Stanley on the front porch. On the front porch today, we're talking mural arts, and for Clay Center, it's become a movement. It's called the Mural Movement, and
yes.
The 25th mural is going to be painted by artist Christian Stanley, who's our guest on the front porch. And before we look at getting to Clay Center, tell me where have you, were most of your jobs projects, what would you call, would it be a project?
Yes.
Okay. It's not a job. I mean, it is, but
yeah.
that makes it sound non-artsy,
yeah.
I guess. So were your first projects around where you live
yes,
in Florida?
Yeah. And as we kind of go along, it's definitely kind of grown. Our outreach has expanded. So definitely, I would say Central Florida area. We have works, you know, in certain districts of Orlando, but we've done works down south to Kissimmee, out west to a small town called Inverness. We've done a mural in Memphis, Tennessee, and most recently in Las Vegas, Nevada, and now Clay Center, Kansas.
So Memphis, was that the first one out of state?
Yeah, and that was for a paint festival called Paint Memphis,
okay.
and that was part of our kind of investment in ourselves to take that step to show potential clients and kind of our following or whatever, our social media
right.
following, that, hey, we can execute a project that's out of state. We can cover the logistics of travel, sourcing paint. And then it was also the added benefit of seeing other muralists and connecting with people outside our kind of our bubble down in Central Florida,
right.
Which was an added benefit because, you know, when you're on the wall painting, you get a lot of interaction with general public, but you don't really get to talk to other muralists because it is such a unique line of work and there's all different kind of levels to it, to see people that are doing it at a national scale, so much like more elevated and be in a position that we
right.
want to be in. It was cool to go and see their process and talk to them and see, because there definitely is a circuit for it, believe it or not. So
I would imagine. So do you work with other artists at all?
Occasionally. Usually I think the best outcome for an artist is to be able to express yourself and not have to kind of collaborate too much. But we have done it and it has been fun and enjoyable experience, but I'd rather kind of let our stuff kind of shine on its own.
Right. So you go to Memphis for this festival that allows you to kind of show your work
mm-hmm.
and interact and kind of a marketing opportunity,
yes.
I guess, for you. The one in Vegas, how do you go about bidding where you're going away from home for an extended period of time?
Right.
And I'm not asking for numbers, but
sure.
Was that, how tough was that to encompass for you guys in your minds? How do we go about going to Vegas, and how long were you there?
We were there for a week.
Okay, so I mean,
a couple days.
That's an extended time away from home, mm-hmm. and doing the work. You got to worry about weather in different locations.
Oh yeah.
How tough was it to make that jump to then go away from kind of where you were comfortable at, I guess?
Yeah, that one was a little unique because we went out there to do a certain job, and we had collected the deposit and had the travel expenses all paid for. But then as soon as we landed, the client realized that the landlord that he was dealing with didn't feel comfortable with us painting a mural on the walls mm-hmm. there because they hadn't signed the paperwork, which oddly enough, they were going to finalize it like the week following. So he was like, I'm so sorry, but you have an all expense paid trip to Vegas. So what are you going to do? So, and my wife and I, that's not particularly our scene. We're not big gamblers or drinkers and all that stuff. So, and we came to work. So she reached out on Instagram and contacted, they have an arts district there that's got a pretty big following and a big footprint there, and reached out to some local businesses to see if anybody would be up for sponsoring a wall for us. And we ended up talking to an art gallery there, which just seemed to be a great fit for us. And he, you know, got us all the funds we need to make sure that the wall could happen there. And that's kind of how we landed that one. But we felt totally out of position because we were going to be working indoors. You know, I wouldn't in my right mind schedule an outside job in the middle of the summer, in the middle of Vegas, in the middle of a heat wave. But right. Sure enough, that's where we landed. Oh, so right. You do have to be flexible, and it does take a little bit of toll to answer your question. But it's all part of the job, and there's definitely some tricks. We post little videos and stuff about it on our social media about how to kind of stay safe in the heat. And we ended up just painting at night, which was that part was tough. That part I'm not really used to because we're from the East Coast, and then. You know, you have the time delay out west, and then, you know, that's during the day. But now we're painting at night, so it was a little bit of a playing catch up. But we got through it, and it was fun. It was nice. We had time during the day to go see some of the sites and stuff that we weren't planning on doing otherwise. And at night, we'd go out there and paint.
Yeah, very cool. So talk about Clay Center. We've kind of teased that through the conversation, but. They were wanting ideas from mural artists.
Yes.
I know that much.
Mm-hmm.
From your angle, how did this come about?
Yeah, no, I think we were approached by Brett to you know, be aware that they were collecting proposals or whatever for designs, and that we should definitely submit something. And we took a look at the mural program and saw like how much stuff he had done, and that, you know, it was very, very legitimate. They'd had a bunch of great artists out here before, and realized that it was so close to where she was raised, and we're actually going to be able to visit with some family, some in-laws that I haven't had a chance to meet. We were married in 2020 with COVID and all that.
Gotcha.
So some of them, or most of them, all of them weren't able to come down to Florida.
Right.
So we're going to a family reunion after we finish the mural.
Nice.
So it just seemed like such a natural fit. And we had done kind of some research and legwork on, you know, what's important in Kansas. And the theme of the mural was Kansas life. So we had looked up, some imagery and also looked at what the other artists had done to make sure we weren't being redundant mm-hmm. or riffing off of what had been done before. And we put a design in, and I guess it was unanimously received from what I hear. So that's very nice to hear.
Yeah, and it is a very cool design. So give their listeners an idea. First off, it's called a Sunflower State of Mind. Is that
yes? Yep.
So give the listeners an idea of what went into deciding what to include for the state of Kansas.
Okay. Yeah. Well, first thing we consider is obviously the size of the wall, and where it's going to be viewed from. So that's, you know, that I think harkens back to my experience as a graphic designer, because if people can't see it, people can't read it. Like, what are you doing? So, and the text that you mentioned is actually a part of the mural. So that's, you know, we moved that to the left-hand side so that it's really visible from where people can see it. The wall is 26 feet tall and 80 feet long, so it's a long horizontal wall with the building dips down a little bit on the right hand side, so you have a big rectangular part up front, and then it kind of tapers out.
And real quick,
in the back.
I'll just interject for the listeners: if you've been through Clay Center, it's a 1524 intersection. As you come through, going north to your left, there's one building and then the wall.
Yes,
so it's very visible from the highway or from the street.
Yeah, from a couple different angles.
Yes, and it's also just been there for a long time with nothing. And
yes.
Scarred up, and it mm-hmm. just this is a perfect place to
yeah.
bright. You talked about brightening up, you know,
yeah.
communities.
Yeah.
This is a great place to do just that. I just thought our listeners might get an idea of that.
Yeah, and Brett let me know this was kind of like a premier location, so I feel really privileged to have gotten it, especially at kind of so the project has moved so far along and this
right.
wall has been available for so long. Usually those spots get nabbed up first. So that was definitely a benefit, but also great motivation to make sure that we do something really cool. And my style or a lot of the artwork that I've done in the past has been very nature themed. I think that's important, talking about uplifting the community and stuff. I just think that's a natural place to go. People love plants and animals, and obviously looking at local history and, you know, the sunflower is the state flower and the Western meadowlark is the state bird.
Right.
That just seemed like something to go to almost immediately. And then we looked and made sure that, you know, nobody had painted stuff like that. I mean, there's sunflower murals and stuff, of course,
right.
but
no, of course, yeah.
make sure we could make it unique. And then, yeah, we set it into a scene to give it a kind of a narrative and then put the text on there that I think will be kind of a great photo opportunity. So there's lots of parking in front of the mural and a lot there so people can go up and actually have some distance to actually sit there in front of it and take some pictures and
yeah.
stuff. So, but yeah, it's going to be like a big 20-foot tall sunflower, and then as you move back in the space, the birds are kind of swooping and flying around the sunflower
nice.
Stalks with a nice, bright and sunny Kansas skyline in the background.
Yeah,
yeah.
Love it. I love it. We've seen the what was put in submitted, and we're very excited for this to happen. I need one more break, and then I want to talk about the process of
sure.
doing this and the
yeah.
timing and how you work around weather, like we're working
yeah.
around today.
Flexibility,
absolutely. We'll continue our visit today on the front porch with Christian Stanley, mural artist, who is getting set to start one in Clay Center.
Does your wheat fungicide clock out before the work is done? Well, it's time to hire the right one for the job. TrivaPro Fungicide. Powered by three active ingredients, TrivaPro works overtime to protect wheat from diseases like rust, including the hard-to-manage stripe rust, while also delivering plant health benefits to help maximize yield potential. The pros trust TrivaPro to work harder, last longer, and yield stronger. Shouldn't you? Learn more at notafraidtowork.com and always read and follow label instructions.
When it comes to their soybean acres, more farmers are making the switch to Enlist E3 soybeans from Corteva. Enlist E3 soybeans are America's number one trait choice in soybeans. With superior weed control and no calendar cutoff dates, the Enlist weed control system gives you the flexibility to spray on your schedule. If you're unsure what's best for your soybean acres, count on what's certain. Talk to your local Corteva seed representative today about Enlist E3 soybeans.
Save big bucks when you need ag replacement parts shipped with Abilene Machine's new flat rate shipping program. Place your order at abilenemachine.com and pay just $14.99 per product for shipping on all ag parts 20 pounds or less. Flat rate shipping for overhaul kits is now only $34.99 per kit. Order online at abilenemachine.com.
It's time for your market recap. I am Tamara Wallace for Thursday, April 18th. In the grain markets, corn for May is down 3.5 at 426 and 3/4. July is down 4 3/4 at 436 and a quarter. September is down 4 3/4 at 445. Kansas City wheat for May is up 4.5 at 577 and a quarter. July is up 6 1/4 at 575 and a quarter. September is up 5 1/4 at 586 and 3/4. Chicago wheat for May is down 1/4 at 536 and 3/4. July is up 3/4 at 553. September is up 1 1/4 at 570 and a quarter. Soybeans for May is down 15 1/4 at 1134 1/4. July is down 15 1/4 at 1149. August is down 14.5 at 1151 1/4. Soybean meal for May is down 7 cents at $338. July is down 240 at 337.40. August is down 280 at 337.80. Soybean oil for May is down 88 at 44.12. July is down 90 at 44.66. August is down 86 at 44.88. And take a look at your livestock future quotes for the live cattle. April is up 27 at 181.17. June is up 5 at 175.37. August is up 75 at 173.52. Feeder cattle for April is up 117 at 241.60. May is up 227 at 242.55. August is up 217 at 254.30. Lean hogs for May is down 20 at 94.72. June is down 2 at 102.70. July is up 5 at 104.35. And that's been your market recap.
Today on the Front Porch, we're talking about a new mural that's coming to Clay Center. It's part of the mural movement. We've talked about it before here on the Front Porch, the 25th mural to go in on the very first location that the mural was going to go,
right?
As you mentioned, the premier location. So Christian Stanley is our guest and part of C. Stanley Creative, the company that he and his wife Jessica own and travel now the country to,
yes, we do.
To do murals. So to me, it's because I'm not an artist and I don't have much art capability in my body. It seems just a daunting thing to look at this wall and decide how you're going to go about it. I guess
right.
It's like eating an elephant one bite at a time. But
yes.
What
yeah,
is your process?
Exactly, yeah, there's nothing to it but to do it.
Right.
It's definitely intimidating. Talking about some of my previous projects after I did the art store, my next wall was a wall very similar to this size. And I remember walking down there with my wife. It was in Kissimmee, 75-foot wall, 20 feet tall, and going, oh, man, how are we going to...
What have I done here?
Yeah, how are we going to do this? And, of course, it's bright and sunny, but also raining the whole time. So, it's definitely daunting, but there are a few tips and tricks to kind of get on the path to success. Definitely, just like any project, laying a good foundation, laying a good base is very important. I see some artists or something, you start a face portrait and they're immediately drawing the eye right in the front and center, and then they get to the outside edge and the face doesn't fit on the paper, and you ran out of room. So making sure that everything's in just the right position before you really dive into the details is probably the most important part of working on a scale like that. So,
yeah. Would those two walls you just talked about be the biggest walls to this point you've worked on?
No, I've actually done, my biggest one was a parking garage.
Oh, wow.
And that one was 4 stories tall. It was 45 feet tall, 175 feet long, and that's in Winter Park, Florida.
Wow.
It's actually, ironically, nobody can see it. not nobody, but it's in an apartment complex,
okay.
And the way they're styled, it looks like a big donut, like a square donut. And the parking garage is one side of the property, and if you have a room or an apartment that faces this giant courtyard, you'd be looking at a big, like precast concrete wall,
okay.
You know, at that size, which is a little... dystopian. So
yes.
We went in there and painted a big scene of Coreopsis, which is like a tick seed, black-eyed Susan looking flower,
okay.
And some bees flying around.
Huh.
And that one we did in 2.5 weeks, and
wow.
It was because that's all the time I could get off of work. So,
and I take it you're not afraid of heights?
Ironically, I am. Just I feel like that's just an innate, sensible human fear. But yeah, it's kind of like mind over matter. And if you do it in a safe manner, it is relatively safe. But yeah, definitely, yeah. I'm always holding on to something.
You're
holding on to the railing, or
you and me both, man. I would not be good in that environment. So the artistic mind typically is not a mathematic mind.
No,
typically anyway.
Yeah.
But you almost have to be a bit of an engineer to do this,
you
right?
You do, yeah. Yeah.
So what are the first steps?
Yeah, so yesterday we went out there.
Real quickly,
sure.
And maybe this is where you're going, the surface itself, is that something you have to work on first?
Yes, okay. Definitely. Yeah, a little bit of engineering, but also contracting. Like you have to prepare the surface. Murals, I'm aware that they have a reputation as being not as durable as other like public artwork, like sculptures and stuff. And it's just, that's how it is. Nothing lasts forever.
Right.
But you do want to, and I want to do the best job possible and have it have longevity as long as possible, because that's where people's mind go sometimes when they think of murals. They think of that mural project that I mentioned previously that's old, and these murals have been on the walls for 50 years and faded, and the paint's blistering and peeling. And fortunately, paint technology has evolved considerably since then. They've introduced new chemical compounds, and I think we're going to see a lot more durability out of murals. But all that's for naught if you don't prep the surface properly. So especially on like a masonry surface like we're doing out there, we put in a sealer down that acts as a moisture barrier to block any kind of bubbling or blistering that they're going to see down the road. But we want to make sure that any loose dirt and debris is clear from the wall, so we'll actually pressure wash it and let it dry. Luckily, that rainstorm that chased us in kind of washed a lot of the dirt and stuff off the wall, but made sure that any like loose paint chips and stuff are clear. And then we put the sealer on there, and now we're actually ready to start the job. It feels like get out there, and we'll put down I use a couple different techniques. Some artists just use exclusively projectors, but for me, I don't know if that's really the best way to go around doing it or about doing it. There's definitely a time and a place to use that, but we use a combination of a couple methods to get the image on the wall, which is that's kind of the hardest part. So we use a grid method to kind of on this wall at this size, I'll mark out a meter every 3 feet and go down the wall, and then I'll use that. I have a printout that has that same grid on it, and it tells me where all the items, the focal points, are located. And then I'll use a technique called the doodle grid, which is something I picked up in Memphis from another artist. Okay. So it's kind of like some tips and tricks that you kind of use along the way. And it's a really interesting technique that uses a little bit of hand-drawn stuff and also technology, which I think is really cool. Yeah. You draw a bunch of doodles, just weird hieroglyphs, dingbats, whatever you want to call them, on the wall. The more random, the better. You don't want to really have any repeating ones because it makes it more difficult to tell down the road where it's at. So you have that on the wall, and then you take a picture of it, and you superimpose your artwork on top of that digitally and make it transparent so you can see both images at the same time. Huh. And then you get back up on the wall and you kind of outline it and make it look like a coloring book or something, and you outline everything, and you can tell better than using the grid system. If you're using the grid system, you got to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and there's a lot of grids on this wall because it's really big.
For sure, yeah.
You can lose track and stuff gets out of place. And then with the being more organic with the doodles, you can just kind of connect the dots a lot easier. And it looks a lot more, I would say, organic and less rigid than using a projector. Sometimes when people use exclusively a projector, to me, it comes out really stiff and just there's a certain intangible kind of magic that happens when you just kind of get in the flow and you feel it. And the doodle grid definitely helps get you there. So
the doodle grid, in my mind, people are going to look at this and go, what in the wide world of sports is going on?
I mean, oh, yeah.
Is that kind of what it looks like?
No, that's exactly what happens. I've done a few projects, and they've made the comment like, oh, man, it sucks. How'd they get all the way up there? They graffitied all the way up there, and they think I'm like a contractor come to repaint the wall to get rid of it. So, that's funny. I mean, to me, you're talking about Brett being involved with the project. That sounds like kind of like a microcosm of a mural project within itself. Everybody's super skeptical when you get started.
Oh, of course.
They don't know what the heck's going on. They don't know what it's going to look like. But then about halfway through, they're okay, all right, I can see it. But then ironically, it doesn't really kind of coalesce or really come together until like the last, I would say, 95% of the mural is done, and you're adding in those tiny little highlights, the glint of light in the bird's eye, or a certain little shimmer here and there, or some deep shadows and stuff really help I call it pushing and pulling, that really add the depth to the mural.
Right.
But
you're correct.
And sometimes I'm skeptical myself, like what is this thing going to look like? So, but that's all, you have to have a critical eye when you're doing it. And so I think that's.
Now, do you know any of the other artists that have come and painted here?
Not personally, no, but I have gotten messages, at least from one artist, saying like, congratulations, you're going to love it there. Prepare yourself for the hospitality, which is certainly the case, but it's more than welcome.
Yeah.
We've been looking forward to doing this project for a long time.
And
so.
that was the second part of that is, in our business, I'm used to people watching us do our thing. Like if I'm doing a ball game, I'm in the crowd and people see me work.
Sure.
You're going to have people watching you work. Is that awkward? Is that everywhere you go that way?
Yeah, sometimes a little bit. It depends on where you're at. Mm-hmm. Some spots more than most. Like if I'm working downtown, people want to stop and talk, and it's more than welcome. I've definitely heard the other side of it from muralists saying like, I'm not, obligated to answer questions and this and that, but that's not the mindset that I have. I don't think that's the right way to go about doing it.
Sure, we're you today.
Yeah, well, it's we're public artists, so part of that is talking with the public, and that's the reason we're able to do work like this. So you know, that's all part of it. And I'm more than happy if anybody's listening to this and want to stop by and talk. I might not be able to talk forever, but I'm more than happy to answer any questions and listen to what anybody has to say.
And how long, if you were to get perfect weather that you could work in
right
going forward, how long do you project it'll take?
This one's going to take about a week and a half. And we kind of gauge that by talking about getting a good base coat and a foundation down. That takes about half the time. So we're going to spend 3 or 4 days getting everything situated and getting kind of the base colors down. It'll look like I mentioned, a coloring book. And then we'll spend the other half of that focused on the focal points, which is like the text and the bird feathers and the petals on the flowers. And that'll take another 3 or 4 days. So I know that's a good metric to figure out, like a halfway point. Am I on track right now? Mm-hmm. Which is kind of hard to do, but that seems to be how it's played out in right. my experience. Yeah.
Right. Do you have projects already lined up past this?
Yeah, a couple. We're trying to keep our schedule light because lately our big projects have been coming in, honestly, really last minute. Like right now we're trying to figure out that job that kind of fell through in Vegas. It didn't go away. So now we're figuring out, well, we're already in Kansas. Should we like drive to Vegas, huh. you know?
Right.
Or we drive back to Florida and then fly to Vegas. So, and that's just one of a couple. That's the hardest part right now is getting the schedule kind of balanced out.
Yeah.
Not for lack of work, but just because we're in demand and people have different schedules and expectations. So it is a bit of a juggling act. So
just logistics are tough.
Yeah.
Speaking of traveling, if you're driving, obviously you've got your supplies.
Mm-hmm.
When you fly, do you have a way of making that not real difficult?
We kind of consolidate everything like clothing wise, personal effects into our carry-ons. And then we'll use our bag, checked bag with more stuff. But honestly, it's easier just to buy everything out there. Obviously can't fly with the paint, but
sure.
I like to have my stuff, out here. I couldn't fit another pint of paint in the back of my truck. but you know, when it comes down to it, if I had to show up and go to a Lowe's, you know, out of town, I can make it happen, which was cool to see when we went to Vegas that, yeah, we can show up and spend a couple $100 in supplies and still make something that's really cool.
It's very interesting to see what your lives are like and making this as a career. So
yeah, no,
really appreciate you just get to town and I'm stealing you away for an hour to come and visit. But
we're out of the rain.
The time.
Here,
yeah,
nice.
That's a good point. We'll look for good sunshine on the way for
it seems like
coming,
it. Yeah,
up.
Seems yeah. like this is the last of it.
Well, good luck on the project. We're glad to have you in Clay Center.
All right, thanks,
really
Rocky.
Appreciate the time. Again, Christian Stanley, our guest from C. Stanley Creative. Your Facebook page probably...
It's all the same, yes. C. Stanley Creative.
Yeah. Okay. If people want to go check out some of your work,
mm-hmm.
it'd be a good place to go do that. Thanks again.